In the corridors of the London Blockchain Conference, I met one of the latest recruits to Enchain, the British blockchain development company. Giovanni Franzisi is moving to the UK from Stockholm, where he was Ericsson's head of blockchain business development, implementing blockchain projects under the radar, as he puts it, for the telecoms giant. Now he's an executive partner at Enchain.
You're listening to CoinGeek Conversations with Charles Miller.
So, Giovanni, you've just joined Enchain literally a few days ago in a senior position. Can you tell me what you're going to be doing there?
Well, kind of continuation of my journey, of my blockchain journey starting in Ericsson years ago. And now in Enchain, taking care of extending Enchain to a consultant service company.
Right. So, yeah, you mentioned Ericsson. You were at Ericsson for almost 20 years.
Yes.
And so this is a big change. You're moving to London from Stockholm.
Yes.
Let's go back into your work at Ericsson, because you were head of blockchain there.
Yes.
And you've been following blockchain for a long time then, I guess.
Yes.
So just give me a little idea about your journey with blockchain all the way from the beginning to now.
So, Charles, everything started from an idea, and I was in an innovation team, which we had the opportunity to experiment other technologies. And I am an engineer. I like technology. I love technology. And I knew blockchain by my own. And then I had some idea to use blockchain, not in crypto, but in a different, in a very different way, six years ago.
Right. So you always thought of it as blockchain rather than Bitcoin then, did you?
Right, right. I never thought to use for company purposes blockchain for crypto or no.
Because potentially for a firm like Ericsson, it could have been a payment mechanism or something, I guess.
Yeah, but in big corporates, innovation is, especially the innovation coming from inside, it's extremely, extremely complex for several reasons, but it's extremely complex. And it's not a case for the big corporates. Innovation comes through acquisition. It's much easier. You buy a company which has a brilliant idea. But for the ones struggling like me, trying to bring innovation from inside, it's extremely difficult. And this is not exceptional for Ericsson. So I prefer to have a very, very smooth approach, flying under the radar and letting this grow.
So in trying to persuade your colleagues at Ericsson that
yes,
blockchain was going to be useful, what did you focus on as being the sort of easiest first step that would persuade them?
I had, to be honest, I had a very clear idea. Knowing this company, we said before, I worked for Ericsson 20 plus years. So I know quite well this company inside out, traveling around, living in many places. And I knew all the struggles of this company. And then knowing blockchain, knowing the troubles, then I had this idea, yeah, but you know, we can use blockchain to do those things. And to be honest, I had many ways to use blockchain, but I wanted to use in a way to avoid fights, to avoid the struggles. As I said before, really flying under the radar. And then step by step, like Lego bricks buildings. So the first one, the second, and then it was a good building. At the end, to make this long story short, I started 6 years ago just with an idea, which between us, I was discouraged to continue. But I was extremely convinced it was a good idea. And then I found an internal stakeholders willing to sponsor my idea with a little proof of concept. And then from the proof of concept, we moved to a minimum viable product, which, you know, it's a sort of product, the skeleton of a real product. And it worked well. And then we finally moved to a final product. And then I proved to the company, we can make it. So, we can make it.
And you were, this was a demonstration, or the initial product was used just internally within
internally.
The company. And what was it? What was it actually doing?
It was for finance globally to match invoices and the purchase orders.
Okay. And what blockchain were you using then?
I started with a private blockchain platform. I started with one of the most known and open source, which is Hyperledger Fabric.
Right.
Because it was without license fee to pay. So for me, it was the most convenient one. And at that time, I didn't see any public blockchain securing scalability or high transaction per second. And there was also another thing, which was I said between myself and myself, if I propose to use a blockchain exposing a corporate data in public, I will never make it.
Right. So you had, because your colleagues would be too nervous of what might
exactly.
happen.
Exactly. So again, flying under the radar. So I said, no, guys, but this is private. It's between the wallet gardens of Ericsson. So nobody will interfere. And the strategy, to be honest, worked out quite
because
well.
Because based on the success of the internal product, you were then able to take it commercially to...
Exactly. But I did by purpose, right? It's like your ambition is to sell cookies, but you don't eat your own cookies, right? So how do you pretend to sell if you don't even try to sell to your family, right? So I did by purpose because I thought to be more credible in my next step. In fact, when... I build up products to propose to the market, I went there with a credible story because I had already a platform using for internal stuff. So I said, you are not the first. I am not using you as an experiment, dear customer. We tried, it works, and now we want to share this experience with you. So it was for a credibility stuff.
The expression I've always heard is, you should always eat your own dog food. So eat your own cookies is much nicer.
Okay. But next time I will stick better with your way.
And so this product is now out there available from Ericsson to its customers. Is that how?
Right.
Is that a big product now?
Well, it's a big product. It's very successful, and we have a very vast adoption. Hmm. You know, at the very beginning, nobody wanted it because, I mean, it's not a secret. Blockchain is still a little bit controversial, especially when we have such scandals like FTX and everybody doesn't want to associate the name of the company with the blockchain. It's not good for the market and the price of the shares go like this, right? So at the beginning, we had even resistance for the market because it was a blockchain solution. Mm. But after a while, since the benefits were so evident, then they gave up to the point, and this was my main reward at the end, to the point we deployed the solution already to several customers, but not making any big announcement. They didn't want to do that. They said, okay, we will use it, but no press release. But then they realized the value of the solution. They realized, and then they had the fights between our customers, who is the first saying in the official press release, saying, no, I am the first using blockchain for Ericsson.
Right.
It was extremely rewarding to see all those emails circulating saying, no, but we were the first. No, but we were the first. So that was my reward at the end.
But was this a new kind of business for Ericsson to be in?
The solution I am talking about is called Ericsson Customer Acceptance. And it's an implementation of a business process. But the core business of Ericsson is not blockchain.
No.
The core business of Ericsson is still to sell network equipment.
I see, right. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So let's move on to the more recent past then. How did you get involved with Enchain?
Well, as we said, I am in this industry already since six years, more or less. So I knew those guys from Enchain. We connected in the past in several events, blockchain related, of course, and then talking and. I wanted to really involve myself in the blockchain industry rather than being a niche in a telco industry.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I suffered a lot. My desire to go fast, to do the things with the pace I want, and in Ericsson, like in the big corporates. You need to struggle a lot. I mean, you know, those big corporates, they move very slow. Mm. They move very slow. So I wanted to go fast. I want to be involved in blockchain industry. And then Enchain was an easy choice in to some extent because it has a great, great platform. It fits with my idea and the vision that I had already in the past when I started with Ericsson to move to public sooner or later. Mm.
And how much did you, before you really got into serious about moving to Enchain, how aware were you of Bitcoin SV and Dr. Craig Wright and all that?
I was full aware since years.
And were you always sympathetic to the idea of Bitcoin SV and thinking, well, actually, yes, what they say is right?
Yes, in the sense, you see, in the public blockchain arena, the announcement, a big announcement we had a few years back was the move of Ethereum to the proof of stake, moving the capacity of the or the speed of the network from 7 transactions per second to double, more or less, or even a little bit more, 20 transactions per second. Yeah. But then when you see BSV, Bitcoin SV, 50,000 transactions per second, then you understand. You are comparing a big Ferrari with a little bike.
So, Giovanni, I'm guessing that your experience within the corporate environment at Ericsson of getting blockchain accepted by people who really don't know much about it is going to be incredibly useful now that you're an Enchain to approach other big corporations and say, well, look, I've already done this. Let me tell you how to do it. Is that?
Yeah, yeah. I just finished my speech here in this event, right? And the message I tried to deliver is exactly what you said. I have a full experience on moving a big corporate giant to blockchain. I did by using a private blockchain, so I know inside out how it works, and there is a better way to do it now. I don't regret what I did and the decisions I took 6 years ago when I decided to embrace blockchain and using private. Hmm. But my message to the audience today was, if you have to start now, then don't do in the way I did. Use public and use Bitcoin SV, because that is the right choice today, right?
It's funny because I talked to some consultants at a fair probably 3 or 4 years ago about almost exactly what you're saying. And they said, oh yeah, well, the private blockchain, that's basically the gateway drug to the public blockchain, and we need to get people
exactly as you said, that's an easier one to get them used to, yes. And then you move to the public. But as you say now, do you think that argument will work and they'll say, well, no, I think we'll just take the more cautious
route?
No,
it works, Charles. And actually, this is what I also showed to the participants of my session. There is a clear pattern that we see of companies already adopting, in the same way I did, private blockchain, swapping to public.
Right, so this is a clear pattern. Just Ericsson, you'll be able to say all these other companies also.
And for instance, one from Enchain with Tradewindow used Hyperledger Fabric, private blockchain platform, and they closed a deal with Enchain to move to BSV. And like this, many, many, many others. And, you know, today I had a chat with, there is an IBM representative in the event, and I shared my idea, private versus public. And, you know, IBM is one historically believing, because they were the builders of Hyperledger Fabric, we shouldn't forget, they were very pushing on private. But now she said, and she's an IBM representative, she said, no, we are also moving to public. So hearing that from people which pushed private blockchain with the big energy in the past moving to public, this confirms what I keep saying recently. Now it's the time to public. If you want to spend time, if you want to claim to use blockchain technology, but in reality you don't, because with the private you lose a lot of blockchain real capabilities. Okay, you are free to do that, but at least you need to be aware it's costly, it's not real blockchain, it's most of the time also centralized, right? So there are many things that now, today, you can do it better, and there are platforms like BSV. Well, actually, there is only one platform, and it's BSV, to be honest, at the moment. We like competition, so if there is someone else as good as BSV doing the same, it's an incentive for us to make BSV even better. But BSV is extremely, extremely scalable, right? So BSV is today the choice.
Now, I know this is your first BSV-based conference.
Right.
Just give me an idea of the atmosphere and what you feel about the people you've met who are involved in this
world. Well, I am extremely, extremely excited because, you know, I come from telecom industry, which is a slow industry. On average, is also a little bit old industry. And moving to blockchain, it's a lot of energy, young people with big dreams, and it's a fabulous atmosphere. So I really love all the energy of these young guys with brilliant ideas. And if I can support them with my experience, then makes me happy.
That's fantastic. Well, really good luck in your new role, Giovanni.
Thanks,
thank you very much for talking to me today.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much to Giovanni Franzisi. Next week, we'll be hearing about a commercial implementation of the BSV blockchain by Mint Blue for their client, who is a luxury watchmaker. So please make time to hear Mint Blue's CEO, Niels Vandenberg, with me next week. Until then, thanks for listening and goodbye.